Here we are. Yes, Law and Gospel on Worldwide Internet at KFUO.org. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. Today's a Rumination Thursday, September the 8th, in the year of our Lord 2016. And with us, we have our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing fine. You know, I want you to know we picked up some new listeners in the St. Peter, Missouri area.
Oh, we did. Had they fallen down? Well, I'm glad we picked them up.
Listeners to KFUO.
Oh, I see. Excellent. Yes, where was I? Oh, yeah. I was at Office Depot and talking to the manager there. I was purchasing an item. And I said, I've been at the other Office Depot. He said, where was that? And I said, well, it's over on Big Bend. And he said, why did you go there? I said, well, I'm affiliated with Concordia Seminary, which is close to there. And he said, yes, I was a manager there. And there were students we hired from the seminary. Mm-hmm. They were some of the best workers that we had. So that was kind of good to hear that.
Great.
What are we going to be talking about today? Well, we're going to be talking about witnessing, but in a very special way. Recall how many times somebody came to you and disagreed with doctrines that you believe in. How do you respond when someone says, you know, I don't really agree with that, or what do you think about this, and so-so? Pastor Reimnitz, anything on your mind in regard to that particular topic?
Right. In fact, it's you probably experience this too, as many of our other pastors do. You get in an elders meeting and you start saying, well, we need to start calling on a few of the people that aren't coming to church and how their relatives are impacting on their lives, you know, about coming to church.
Yes.
Or being involved in that. And it just so happened that I met, as you know, I'm vacancy pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Manitou, Illinois, which is just south of Pekin and Peoria. And we were talking the other night about going out and visiting some of the folks that haven't been to church for a while. And everybody loves to change the subject. I think that's, when it comes to witnessing, it's like, how do we change the subject so that we don't get to the task of our spiritual life? And the one that came up was Bible thumpers.
Oh, you have Bible thumpers in your Bible class? Are
Bible
they rabbits?
Or I don't know, but you Lutherans are nothing but a bunch of Bible thumpers.
Now, how are we to respond when we hear something like that? Let's take that as an example. They say, you know, you guys are nothing but a bunch of Bible thumpers. What would you suggest is the first step?
First step is, what do you mean?
Oh, well said. In fact, Luther's Small Catechism that they were talking about on the previous program, he always says, what does this mean?
Oh, of course. I mean, you want to find out what's the nature of their objection. You know, you'd ask me once to come up with a bunch of them, and I've got a list of over 40.
40 you know? Different ways that people think of Bible thumping?
Bible thumping or changing the subject.
Let's stick with the Bible thumping right now. What are the various ways that we would find people when they say you Lutherans are nothing but a bunch of Bible thumpers? What do they mean by that?
Well, sometimes when people come to church, they feel like the eyes are upon them. You know, one person that I remember distinctly, she married into the Lutheran church, and her mother said, well, why did you join the Lutherans? Why didn't you come back to our church? And she said, when I come to church, the eyes are upon me, and they ask me, where you been and why have I been to church, and criticizing me for not having been there. So the difference is, with the Lutherans, they know how to forgive.
So Bible thumping there would mean that they're legalistic in their approach to the Bible, saying you're only going to be right with God. When I heard Bible thumpers, I think of those who, and I was accused of this at the seminary. They call me a bibliolater.
Ooh, what's a bibliolater?
My God was the Bible, not Jesus.
Oh, really?
Yes, and therefore I would have been considered a Bible thumper, because every time somebody in, you know, we had very liberal professors then at that time, would say something, I would ask them, where do you find that in the Bible that says that? Like, for example, one professor was teaching that when they went over the Red Sea, the Israelites went on boats and the Egyptians followed them, but their chariots sank into the mud, so they couldn't catch up with them. And so I would ask, where do you find that in the Bible? Which, of course, they can't find anywhere. And then I was a Bible thumper because, boy, if it's not in the Bible, then it can't be true.
Well, the other one that comes to mind is the Romans passage, faith comes from hearing.
Yes.
Hearing the word of Christ.
Exactly. In other words, apart from the word of God, there is no other way. In fact, I had said something recently, and you said you used it in a Bible class about a board and a dot. Can you explain that?
Well, see, it just so happened that, when we got onto the topic of Bible thumping, you had talked about it in your broadcast about, you know, that the Bible, if you took a blackboard and that chalkboard is completely clean and you put a dot in there, the blackboard represents the knowledge of God, and that little dot is the word of God. You know, God's knowledge is so vast, but he's tied us to his word. And that's our, really, our, in a sense, our gateway to knowing what God's thinking and how God looks upon our salvation, our sinfulness, everything.
Yes. The point that we're making during this broadcast is when somebody disagrees with a doctrinal statement that is part of our confessions, the first question you ask is, what do you mean by that? Now, it's possible we don't have an answer because God in that little dot doesn't provide an answer. But then we can say something like that. But let's take another example besides Bible thumpers. A number of times, people knowing I'm a Lutheran church will ask, why do you baptize infants? I don't believe you should. And before I answer, I always ask this question, what do you mean that we shouldn't baptize and why shouldn't we? And then you listen to their answers. One answer was, well, infants can't believe. And another one is, oh, they're innocent. There's an age of accountability under which God does not consider anyone a sinner or hold them accountable. Now, once you hear why they oppose it, then you can work on it. Like the idea that an infant can't believe, what are you going to do with John the Baptizer who leaps in the womb for joy?
Yep. No, You've encountered them. I've encountered that several times too, where you use that John passage and you use the word there to say, okay, this gives you knowledge as to what's on God's mind.
Yes.
And how he instills faith in the individual, not us.
And if they say, well, children are innocent, that is a denial of what's called original sin. I mean, what did David mean in sin did my mother conceive me? So it's very, very important. The first step, I believe, in witnessing to someone who's in disagreement is always to ask the question, why do you disagree with that? For example, somebody may say, I don't agree with your doctrine of the Trinity. And then you say, well, why not? Well, I don't believe that there are three gods.
Yeah, I think it's really, and this methodology is something that I've always used in my 30-plus years of ministry, is to be able to sit down with the individual and find out what do they mean by what they're talking about. Let's dig a little bit deeper so that we can answer the objections that's on their minds. But sometimes we find out that that's not really the objection that they have.
Exactly. Early in my radio ministry, and I was corrected by the general manager here, I would get asked the question, and immediately I start answering it. And then when I was done, the person would say, well, that's a wonderful answer, but that's not what I was asking.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one that I always remember so famously for in my life was I had to make a 20-mile trek across some bad roads in a rainstorm. And I was told afterwards by the congregation, because I had recently become a new pastor there, that was not a road to travel when the weather was bad, but I did anyway, and I went to visit a member that who had a spouse that didn't belong, and we were going to talk to them about coming, and they gave up all kinds of objections.
Yes.
To why they didn't go. And finally, he said, all you want are people. And I pointed out the fact that the road was treacherous that night and getting to their house, and I could have just stayed home in a warm home and just said, gee, the roads were that bad. But I said, I came to talk to you about the gospel, and come to find out the real objection after a half hour of talking with them was they didn't feel like they were good enough to go to church.
I recall a similar situation. I had taken an elder with me. This person hadn't attended church for over 2 years. So we met in the house, and it was winter. And I asked him, you know, why he hadn't come to church. He said, well, Pastor, I was going to come last week, but, you know, it snowed and I didn't have my snow tires on. And I almost said, well, there were 104 other weeks before that where it wasn't snowing.
No. Yeah, I mean, they really come up with them, but the objection, I think, is really that it may be unbelief, or it may be the fact that they don't feel like they're, quote, good enough.
Well, I was taking a look, and I dealt with this a bit. Postmodern, the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, those who are no longer members of a church, they were giving reasons, and it was really a good article. It was the first time I'd ever heard the reason. The number one reason they lost their faith was because they haven't taught evolution. But the second reason in the list was interesting. They didn't want to go to this church because the more they got to know the people, the more they realized how really sinful they were, and they weren't acting like Christians.
Right. That's the old adage that church is full of hypocrites.
Yes. And what they mean by a hypocrite is not what the Bible means by a hypocrite. What they mean by a hypocrite is, and that's, I find that out by asking them, somebody who confesses he's a believer and doesn't act like one. And I said, no, that's not a hypocrite. That's a Christian. And I said, what the Bible says is a hypocrite, you know, it comes from the word to act, is those who are acting like they believe in God, but they really don't.
I think that's a great distinction that you're making, because, that occurred in one family situation where the wife was working on the husband. And he says, I don't feel good enough to come to church, you know. And she just looked at him and said, move over. That's the rest of us, you know.
Yeah, join the crowd. Exactly.
We do that on Sunday morning, you know, in our Lutheran churches. We confess that we are all sinners, regardless of your political, your gender, your lifestyle, you know, whatever it is. We confess to Almighty God our sinfulness.
And we also in that confession say we're such bad sinners, we deserve nothing but
eternal death.
Yeah, temporal and eternal punishment.
Punishment, yeah.
So that's really kind of something that somebody who says, I'm not going to church. Now, I'll tell you, there are a lot of people who no longer go to church, and I wouldn't be going there either. Because every time they go there, they are struck with, now they don't understand this, but it's legalism, giving them the impression that you're not good enough for God, but if you only follow our advice, then you can become better, so God will like you, then he might love you, and finally he'll save you. Well, I wouldn't want to go to a church like that either.
No, it's, you go to the church, you do these things, including if you just give a little extra more money to this church, that's going to bring you closer to God. And it just, it negates the gospel, you know, because what happens after we make confession of our sins, but we forgive those sins, you know, as Christ himself has said.
Well, as you know, you're at your church as a vacancy. I'm at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm, and this afternoon at 12:45, I'll be teaching the confirmation class in the parochial school once more. And the thing I'm going to be trying to get across to them is that theology is the art of making distinctions. And the big distinctions we're going to be talking about today, we're on the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, is that God, first of all, works through your parents. And then as you grow older, he sets up two other areas, namely the temporal realm, the government, and the spiritual realm, the church. And I have a chart that we're going to be going through to help them understand that. Because people, you know, we're not Muslim in the sense that all the rules in the temporal realm have to apply also to everybody in the spiritual realm. We make a distinction between the two realms, and we're going to be talking about that today with the kids to help them overcome some of the criticism that they hear in regard to their faith.
Right. I often look at it as Luther did in his Genesis lectures. He called them the three hierarchies, the church, the government, and the home. And it was the church's responsibility to teach, you know, government and the home its duties as it was presented from the Word of God.
Yeah, I don't have any trouble with homeschooling when we're talking about the secular subjects. But once we get into the spiritual realm, most parents are not trained in theology, and therefore you need to get them to a church where the pastor knows the original Hebrew and Greek, where his confession is keeping the Word of God pure and the sacraments administered rightly, because that's why God set up pastors, to help the parents bring their children up properly in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Oh, and I think that's why, well, that is why we have pastors in our church, and why we're discussing today how people change the subject in reaching out. You know, we train our elders, or we train one another, our members, on how to answer the questions when people bring up these things, and bring them back to talking about the gospel and how Jesus saves us.
You mentioned you had come up with a number of other ideas beside the Bible thumpers. You got another one you can share with us where somebody asks you a question and the first response is, what do you mean by that?
Well, all religions are the same.
Oh, that's a good one. Yes.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by that? Yeah, that's a good one, because then what are they going to say? What do they normally mean when they say that all religions are the same?
Well, it's interesting. I bring that one up because I was watching an old movie the other day from the 50s, and it made the distinction in there that all religions are the same. And I've heard that many times with other folks. And you say, where do people come up with this? I go, well, they came up with it with a 1950s film, you know.
Yes.
Typically, it's we can all get to heaven the same way. You just believe your religion, I believe my religion, and you start. We've talked about this many times, that you can break religion down into two areas, man and God.
Yep.
Man tells you how you got to work your way to heaven. God's religion, which we know from the Bible, shows to us how believing in Jesus Christ. Yeah, God's done it all for us.
Yes, another way that I've heard people talk about that all religions are the same. In fact, I have a poster about this called The Golden Rule. And what it does, it has a circle of all the main religions. There's probably 12 or 15 of them. And underneath each religion, it has the Golden Rule. Like, for example, in Christianity, love your neighbor as yourself, this kind of thing. And in that way, they say, see, every religion is the same. They have one goal, and that is not just to love God, but also your neighbor. Don't do unto them what you don't want to have done to you, and this sort of thing. And once more, they put Christianity with the rest because of the law, not because of the gospel, because no other religion even comes close to the teaching of the gospel as Christianity does.
That's well said. And I break it down into do and done. You know,
explain that.
Well, religions that say you got to do something to earn God's merit and earn your way to heaven. And you see that typically in the Muslim religion with the jihadists and the holy wars, that they blow themselves up and they go to heaven. Versus done is what God has already done for us. You know, we talk about races. You know, the Olympics were up and how people train in the Olympics. They got to do something in order to finally get that gold medal. Well, in the spiritual realm, you're already at the winner's stand because God's done it in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Another thing I'll hear every now and then is, I don't agree with your position, they will say to Lutherans, about how a person is saved. So rather than trying to argue with them, I always ask, well, how do you think a person is saved? Well, a person has to make a decision. They can't just be forced into any other religion. Now, once you hear that, then you can go to the Bible verses that show you don't make a decision. Like Jesus himself said, you did not choose me, I
chose you.
Yes, I mean, there's so many passages like that. My goal in witnessing to people who disagree with Scripture is to get them confused. Seriously, because if they have false teaching, they will never be able to stay consistent with that false teaching. That would be like saying to them, oh, you have children? Yes. Oh, isn't it wonderful that they just didn't become your children, but they made a choice to become your children, right?
Right.
Oh, no. Well, wait a minute. Are you better than God? And you put them in a position where once you ask, what do you mean? Boy, they're going to really have a problem in being consistent with their teaching, because God's word is really the only, it's not reasonable, but it's the only logical religion in the world.
But would you also say that part of our goal in our discussions is okay, we've said, what does this mean? We've answered their questions. But the third point is bring home the gospel to them about the saving message of Jesus Christ.
Well, as you explain why their position is in error, the gospel does come in. Because somebody who says, I can get to heaven by my works, well, it's pretty obvious that you can, and that's where the gospel comes in. Are you going to be preaching about that this Sunday?
Yep, at Trinity Lutheran Church in Manitou at 9 a.m. and 10:15 Bible class.
And I'll be at Trinity, not the same one, Orchard Farm at 8 a.m., 10:30 service with a 9:15 Bible class. And by the way, it's going to be the first Sunday we go back to Sunday school. And if you're at all interested in knowing more about Trinity, I don't know what Manitou has, but this Sunday at 3 p.m., we have our annual picnic. And so come on over to the school, a big gymnasium. There's going to be games and food. You can get to know the people a little bit. So if you're a little hesitant to start off by coming to a worship service, then come to one of these events, and we would love to see you.
And that's the thing, you know, you're more than welcome to come to our churches, whether it's in the worship service or at a picnic.
Right.
You know, just this last week we had some people that hadn't been in church for several years, and our only comment is we're glad to see you and we're glad to have you back.
That's for sure. Well, I appreciate you being with me again today, Thursday, and next week we'll maybe continue our conversation with another topic. People can email us at lawandgospel101.com and either talk to myself or Wes. Okay, Wes?
Be with you. Yep, take care.
All right, God bless you.
You too.
And tomorrow, Open Mic Friday, where we're going to have the opportunity to continue our discussion with Wes, or what I said Wednesday about how God saves infants apart from baptism, or anything else on your mind. It's Open Mic Friday tomorrow. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.